Family fun at this year's Boat Show and Fishing Expo. 14 local dealers are offering huge discounts on current stock with all boats rigged and ready. Truckloads of discounted fishing tackle, water sports gear, seminars, trout fishing, Oklahoma bass tub, and more. Fun on the water for everyone. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
Is that we gave him. Well, we gave them, I believe, $350 billion, but let's say it's something less than that, but it's a lot. And we have to equalize with Europe, because Europe has given us a very much smaller percentage than that. I think Europe has given $100 billion, and we've given, let's say, $300 plus, and it's more important for them than it is for us. We have an ocean in between, and they don't. But where is all the money that's been given? Where is it going? And nobody, I've never seen an accounting of it. We give hundreds of billions of dollars. I don't see any accounting. So I want to see peace. Look, you know why I want? Because I don't want all these people killed anymore. I'm looking at people that we gave him.
Well, I mean, he's right. And I mean, hopefully we got a lot to hit. Hopefully we'll get some of this figured out. And then, of course, we got the gold. Well, if there's gold there. Fort Knox, is there? Who knows?
We don't know.
We've got a lot happening right now, because we also have Mitch McConnell just announcing that, well, kind of what we already knew, that he's not running for re-election. And that he just made that announcement on the floor of the Senate in a very lengthy address. So I think he's actually still going. But he said he's not seeking re-election next year. And so he just announced that. And then we've got the executive order as it pertains to funding for illegal immigrants, that which the president, the details of that came out yesterday, and then it's already been signed. So I'm going to go over those details with you as well. There's a lot happening, like all of a sudden. But and then, of course, the ongoing stuff with DOGE. And then we've got the stuff with Hamas and the horrible display that they put on earlier with the parading of the coffins of the dead Jewish hostages. So lots of stuff to hit today as we roll through and get you set up. So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the first hour. So, oh, and then the Zelensky fight. So there's a lot happening. And like I said, the Zelensky fight, which we're going to cover. And I kind of want to give just a little bit of perspective on this, because there's a lot more nuance here than people are allowing for. And I think it's important to make sure that we're incorporating that. So, again, welcome. And top of this first hour, and Dana Lash with you. So where to start? Real quick, Mitch McConnell announcing he is not seeking re-election. He has he's retiring effectively, but that's, you know, he already handed the reins over to John Thune. So we kind of saw this coming. He was up there giving his life story and why he got into it. I know Mitch McConnell is a love him or hate him or love and hate kind of politician. It sort of depends. Like, there are some things that he does incredibly well. For instance, the judicial portion of Trump's first term. So the second half of Trump's first term, which was heavily judicial, that was in part, it was hugely successful in part because of Mitch McConnell. And I give credit where due. There's a lot of things I disagree with Mitch McConnell on, and immigration is one. He kind of goes along with what the Republican caucus goes with. He sort of goes along with whatever Republicans, what he kind of, it's like the Johnny Carson phenomenon. So Johnny Carson was on when I was super little, but Johnny Carson would not weigh in on an issue. He would wait for everybody else to talk about it, and everyone else gave their takes, and then he would weigh in, and that was considered, okay, that's it. Johnny Carson weighed in on it, it's done. This is kind of the same thing. When Mitch McConnell would weigh in on something, more often than not, it was kind of where the Republican caucus of the Republicans in Senate were going. And maybe it's not like a total mark of leadership, or I don't know, maybe some would argue that it is. There were things definitely to dislike about Mitch McConnell, but his amazing knowledge of parliamentary maneuvers and the way that he was able to finesse Trump's judicial appointments, even with Supreme Court, and maneuver them, guide them through the process and get them through, is incredibly significant. And that is a gem of Trump's first term, because he did a lot of things right with the judges his first term, and he would not have gotten some of them through had it not been for McConnell. McConnell can be very ruthless in that regard. And Trump would not have gotten some of these banger nominees in for these judicial appointments had he not had McConnell. So I wanted to say something nice, because I'm sure all the bad stuff is going to be. I don't, you know, I'm pretty ambivalent about it. I'm like, meh, he's a politician. But I want good judges. And I was really happy that he helped make that happen. So just kind of keep that in mind as well. I mean, granted, there are a lot of things to not like, but that is not one of them. Really not one of them. So John Thune, you know, has been the majority leader there in the Senate now, and you can kind of see all this coming. Also, where to start with this? $2 billion discovered by Lee Zeldin, EPA, stashed away by the Biden administration for, what do you think it was for? If you guessed one of Stacey Abrams's climate groups, you're right. I don't believe that the climate groups are an actual scientific group. I think it's all just, it's a money laundering operation. I mean, none of those things. The EPA, they discovered that the $2 billion award from the Biden administration went to a group tied to Stacey Abrams. You guys remember her? She still thinks that she's governor of Georgia. Remember how that worked for her? Didn't. I think she really does believe it. They were set aside at an outside financial at Citibank. And it was before Biden left office, and it was part of a $20 billion pot of cash that the EPA received from Biden through the Inflation Reduction Act. Wow. And this is the organization, per Zeldin. He said, quote, "It's very concerning that this is an organization that reported just $100 in revenue in 2023, and they were chosen to receive $2 billion. That's 20 million times their reported revenue." That's pretty amazing. $20 billion pot, and they had $100 in revenue is what they reported in 2023. That's pretty amazing. So he's... this is obviously one of the things that they're trying to, I love the phrase now, it's clawback. They're trying to claw back. The outlet is Power Forward Communities. That's the, that per their latest tax filings, they reported $100 in revenue, and then they get 20 million times that. For what? All that, well, that's just it. There's no oversight. Without any federal oversight. So you have no idea. They didn't have to tell you, basically. We have no idea what it went for. I don't even know if it's, they still have it. Who knows? So that's one of the other discoveries that they came across. And I mean, it makes me kind of wonder, so was that used for her campaign? I mean, because how many times did she run? She ran a million different times for a million different seats. I've got my suspicions on that one. She may have. Now, in addition to this, oh, wait, there's more. Let me pull this up because I'm going to, this is going to be in your prep email if you sign up over at Substack. And if it looks like it's an archived, I'm just getting you around the paywall so you can actually read the story. Does that mean I don't care? Because they got money. That they got U.S. aid money. So you can have all the middle fingers I can muster. Yeah. I will absolutely find a way around your paywall. You better damn believe it. So I'm going to make sure I send this out to you because this is a new one. This is from the Washington Post. Well, so is the Lee Zeldin EPA one. Trump administration orders Pentagon to plan sweeping budget cuts. Now, we're going to have a bigger conversation about this because I don't like to use the phrase neocon unless it's legitimate, right? I feel like it's really abused. And as a result, it's lost all people. I think people have lost all reference, the reference that it's signaling. So there are no sacred cows, right, in any government spending. And that also includes the Pentagon. And there are a lot of people who are getting upset over it. And I need people that are like, well, we're cutting our budget at a time where we need it the most, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I need everybody to chill out because I literally sat down at a dinner with Army Futures Command and one of our top generals. And I heard about wasteful spending and the insane contracts that the military was making under Joe Biden and even before then under Barack Obama, and how you're committing billions of dollars to a project, and then by the time it's delivered, it's like 10 years, it's outmoded by like 10 years. So what's the point? I mean, we're not adapting fast enough, and we get caught in these legacy contracts that spend billions and billions of dollars. So for the people out there who think that this is somehow going to negatively impact our warfighters, that is such wrong civilian thinking. And I say this only having sat down with them for hours and talked to them about all of this. The idea that you can't cut some of these legacy contracts because it's going to have a negative impact, that's false. It doesn't have a negative impact. In fact, you're limiting, it actually imposes a number of limitations on our military, and because there's the funds dry up after a while, and you've got everything tied into these stupid legacy contracts that a lot of these politicians have won because they represent companies in that district that won the contract, and so they got to bring the bacon home, so to speak. That's a very real thing, and that's all of that stuff has to be audited. There are no sacred cows here. So that's one of the things that POTUS is looking at. One Pentagon official said money saved through the cuts could be realigned to other priorities. And that's true. For instance, I was talking to I was talking to someone at the Pentagon. And again, at this dinner, I had a discussion about military and recruitment and all kinds of stuff. And I was very forthright. And they were very nice and very accommodating. And I was floored when I learned that the military approaches contracts, even for things like food, in the same manner that companies that incorporate DEI do. This was one of the things that ended, of course, with the president's executive order on removing DEI from every aspect of government. And for instance, if they were getting chickens to eat, I mean, the Army apparently is like the biggest procurer of chickens. Did you know that in the United States, like they eat the most of it? So as an entity, as a group, they purchased them, but they had to consider, well, we have to immediately prioritize chicken farms that are minority owned or majority minority employee, and have all of this XYZ DEI stuff that actually drives up the cost of the food that they're trying to purchase, because they can. They know that they have a captive audience if you have to consider all of this DEI stuff first. It is insane. And I'm sitting at a very diverse dinner of different minority higher ups in the military, and also white people in the military, and they were all saying the same thing, and they were just as floored as I was when I was informed of this. So yes, absolutely, things can be audited here, and I'm glad that they're doing it. We're going to talk more about it. Also coming up, the Bibas family and four victims, in fact, that have been taken hostage by Hamas. Apparently, Gaza's all bombed out, but they still were able to print out giant posters and all kinds of terrorist propaganda. Apparently, the print shops and all the supplies were unaffected. Really weird how that works. We're going to discuss that and so much more as we roll towards already the bottom of this first hour. All Family Pharmacy provides the prescriptions you need. And they have a doctor that signs off on the prescriptions. They can send everything out in like, 2 to 4 days, overnight too. They can overnight it if you really need it. But they have customizable orders. They have emergency kits tailored to your needs, and they support your medical independence. So I use them, like, for instance, over Thanksgiving, I was getting serious sinusitis and it was turning into strep. And I'm like, I am hosting Thanksgiving. This is insane. And I immediately was on allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. First time I did use code Dana10, and I got my 10% discount off my entire order. But you can get, you know, they have tons of different medications. They even have ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine as well, tons of antibiotics, over 200 other essential medications. And I ordered what I needed, like amoxicillin, azithromycin. And, you know, the, again, medical professionals, doctors are like, this is, you know, how you take it. This is the, you know, the dosage, et cetera. But it's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. The pricing's straightforward. And it's all from the USA. None of this stuff is input from China. It's not outsourced. It's made in the USA, so you can rest easy. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off using promo code Dana. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, promo code Dana10. That gets you 10% off. Don't wait. Put your order in today.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
Family fun at this year's Boat Show and Fishing Expo. 14 local dealers are offering huge discounts on current stock with all boats rigged and ready. Truckloads of discounted fishing tackle, water sports gear, seminars, trout fishing, Oklahoma bass tub, and more. Fun on the water for everyone. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the lifestyle apparently is beating genetics on the path to premature death, according to one study. Environmental and lifestyle factors play a far greater role than genetics, they said, in determining the likelihood of dying young. Well, duh. Really? This is a headline? Did these people get USAID money? For real. No, I mean, no
joke. In their defense, a lot of people believe that genetics is the do-all, die-all of how your health is going to be, and that's not exactly true.
No, it's not true, especially if you're out there smoking like a chimney and you're dropping acid and you're driving drunk and all this other stuff. I mean, guess what? That's going to maybe lead to a premature death. Just saying. People are trying to participate in digital detoxes. So apparently young adults are flocking to London's offline nights. I cannot believe that that's a feature of an evening where you can undergo what they call it a 2-hour digital detox. Someone is charging lots of money for you to drop your phone into a deposit box and then for the next 2 hours be in an offline club. And you pay for entry. You pay to get in. You switch off your phones, you put them in a box, you pay to get in, and then you got to pay for drinks and everything. I could have come up, who does that? Who came up with that idea? And who are the rubes dumb enough? You don't have enough self-discipline that you can't go for an hour without checking your phone. You have to pay for someone to nanny your phone for you. Oh my gosh, I can't. What is, like, I'm mad because I didn't come up with that grift. Now, you could totally call me a grifter if I did that, because it would be true and I would be completely unashamed about it. We have a lot more. I have a sad dog story and I just didn't want to end with it. So I'm going to save it. So I can't do that one. We got a lot more on the way. The latest on the border and the executive order. Stick with us. Strength and vitality inside and out. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. You'll love Native Path Collagen because it'll keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And you can use it daily in your morning coffee to start the day feeling your best. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. So you can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. And it's the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for up to an incredible 45% off, plus get free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
Family fun at this year's Boat Show and Fishing Expo. 14 local dealers are offering huge discounts on current stock with all boats rigged and ready. Truckloads of discounted fishing tackle, water sports gear, seminars, trout fishing, Oklahoma bass tub, and more. Fun on the water for everyone. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What comes next? After we've discriminated against, deported, or disparaged all the immigrants and the gay and lesbian and transgender people, the developmentally disabled, the women, and the minorities, once we've ostracized our neighbors and betrayed our friends, after that, when the problems we started with are still there staring us in the face, what comes next? All the atrocities of human history lurk in the answer to that question.
So J.D. Pritzker's, his analysis of Trump's EO is that Trump is going to deport all to gays. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's sounding like there.
And women and minorities.
And women and my, like, where to? Like, I.
And the physically disabled.
Do you want me to borrow the language of the left for a moment? Sure. Where to, Pritzker? Part of my ancestry was here first. Originals. So you leave. How about that? I'm just so tired of this stuff. I'm so tired of, oh, we can't make an argument, so vagina. Or we can't make an argument, so skin color. Or we can't make an argument, you know, sexual preference. I think everybody's tired of that. And Democrats have not learned, but they've done it so long, I don't know that they can change. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The chat's at Rumble, Channel 347, DirecTV as well, X and YouTube and Facebook. So POTUS signed an executive order that is designed to terminate any and all, first scoop, the first person who had this was Bill Malugin, any and all taxpayer benefits going to illegal aliens, which is the long accepted legal term, and it has been in decades of legalese in, here in the United States. The order is expected to direct every federal agency and department to identify all federally funded programs currently providing financial benefits to illegal aliens and take corrective action, ensuring that any federal funds to states and localities will not be used to support sanctuary policies or assist in facilitating illegal immigration. And it's also expected to mandate improvements in eligibility verification, prevent federal benefits from going to anyone in the U.S. illegally. So this is a priority. They said they were talking about the Personal Responsibility Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act and welfare programs and all this other stuff. And so it was signed. They signed it. And it terminates all of these our tax dollars going towards illegal aliens and illegal entry. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it does. Malugin summarized it earlier today, and it's effective immediately. So it's going to cut tax dollars going to all of this and going to that program. Like I said, that welfare program, that the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act of 1996, and that's where. You know, it was assumed that illegal aliens were generally barred from welfare programs, but if they are granted parole, they're classified as qualified aliens. This is something Malugin wrote on. If they're granted parole, they're classified as qualified aliens, and they can become eligible for a whole bunch of welfare programs. And then within 5 years, their full eligibility is granted. That's the way the current law was. And so the CBO estimated that this program has cost taxpayers over $16 billion. That with this Biden administration, we spent $16 billion on welfare, like welfare entitlement programs for people who are in the country illegally. Oh, but hey, if you're a veteran and you need help, screw you. Oh, hey, but if you're some of the people in North Carolina that are dealing with the aftermath still of Hurricane Helene, screw you. If you're the people who lost everything in the Maui fires, screw you. What about California? I mean, we can go on and on. $16 billion. And this money was doled out to left-wing NGOs that facilitated mass illegal immigration and also provided services to fight deportation orders. And that's, I mean, in addition to that, they also found separately from this over $16 billion, $1 billion was allocated through FEMA specifically for illegal aliens. So this is wild. So it's official. Trump has signed it. And the parole means, when they talk about parole, they're talking about that. Do you remember the what was it under Joe Biden? It was the parole flights program for illegal immigrants. And that doesn't include the one app, the CBP one app parolees. And it doesn't include the parolees that are catch and release. He's used this apparently more than any president in the history of America. Now, under the Trump administration, part of, let me pull this up, and this is per the rapid response account that they have, because they have all of the orders and they have this the text of the EO here. So per this EO, as it relates to those parolees, that they can be voided. And apparently in this EO, it states in here that they've essentially gone ahead and told DHS and ICE to start that process to void out all of these parolees in that Biden era program that was allowing people to stay and then get eligibility for welfare. And here's the downside, because the voidance of that parolee program was done by EO, that means it can be undone by EO, which brings me to the point, I cannot emphasize enough how all of this stuff needs to be, absolutely must be followed up by congressional action. And already we're having a fight with some of this stuff. We're already having a fight with some of these Republicans on this. In addition, the State Department has also officially designated Trinidad-Aragua, MS-13, Sinaloa, the Jalisco United Cartels, Northeast Cartel, the Gulf Cartel, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8 different cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. And that's per Secretary of State Marco Rubio. So that's also new. So that was yesterday. So there's been a lot of action on this. Now, it's great that there's a lot of executive orders that are trying to right bad policy, but we absolutely have to follow this up. I cannot emphasize this enough, with action in Congress, or it's meaningless. It'll all be undone if there is a Democrat president, heaven forbid. And if Congress doesn't get it together and start adopting and implementing cuts and implementing cuts on spending as well, it's going to be, you increase the likelihood of a Democrat coming in 28 and undoing all of this with executive order. Because I'm telling you, if they can't even make cuts that so far, we've gone over the polling. Most Americans are very pleased with. And if they are struggling to even commit to what they promised on the campaign trail and implementing these cuts in spending and waste, fraud, and abuse, do you think that they're actually going to commit to doing anything permanent about this kind of stuff as it pertains to the border? The answer is no. It's rhetorical. No, they're not going to. It's going to require a ton of pressure. Speaking of pressure, I don't know if you guys saw this. We talked about this yesterday, and it did. I forget how many hours ahead of us. Earlier in the day for them, basically, early morning for us, Hamas paraded out. They paraded out 4 coffins that included the Bibas family, the mother and her 2 baby boys. One was 2 years old, and one was 8 months old when they were kidnapped and held hostage by Hamas. The baby was the youngest. We talked about this yesterday. Hamas put up a stage. They built a whole stage, and they had all of this, all of these posters and propaganda. Audio Soundbite 23. They paraded out these coffins to cheering Gazans that love their elected party of Hamas. Watch this. They did this before putting it over. Now, what you can't see behind them are stands, like stadium stands, where Gazans are sitting in the stadium stands. And they're watching this. That's the four dead bodies of those hostages. One of them was an elderly gentleman as well. He was Oded Lifshitz, who was abducted and brought to Gaza. That's his body. And then Shuri Bibas and her two sons, Ariel and baby Kiefer. That's their bodies in those coffins. And Israel confirmed receipt and all of that today. Just horrific, absolutely horrific. But did you notice, I mean they had a big banner and they had all of this propaganda printed up. You know, Gaza was supposedly destroyed, but apparently their print shops and their graphic design agencies are still open. Interesting. And then the photos, because behind what you saw from the camera, stadium seating for Gazans who were cheering. There's tons of video and audio. They were cheering this. Plainclothes civilians cheering at the sight of dead babies. Dead, innocent hostages. And I think that Israel should return every Hamas terrorist in their custody to Gaza in the exact same condition that the Bibas family was returned in. You know, to make it fair, it's really stunning some of the products of terrorist incest that get up on social media and they think that they understand the history and then they repeat this Nazi garbage, this Hamas Nazi garbage. Say, oh no, that's, you know what, Israel was bombing this area. Why is it that everyone else is expected to care about the lives of Gazans more than the elected government of Hamas? Who broke the ceasefire on October 6th? Who broke the ceasefire that morning of the 7th? Who broke that? It was Hamas, wasn't it? Who broke every single ceasefire that has ever been agreed to? Hamas. Juan's getting video ready so you can actually see the throngs of average everyday Gazans that are out cheering the death of innocent babies through no fault of their own were taken hostage. Yeah, so tell me again that, you know, oh no, I mean, these are civilians. They voted for Hamas, so I have zero sympathy. This is a multi-generational terrorist culture. They pay families of suicide bombers and terrorists that die while trying to take out innocent Israelis. And then you have all of their stupid, derpy surrogates that get out there and say, well, it's Zionism to claim other. I don't think, just like people don't even understand really what the phrase neocon means. Clearly, there are some barely educated Hamas fluffers that don't understand what the word Zionism means either. Zionism isn't you get to go and murder a bunch of innocent people, ambush them, come in from the skies, rape women to death, disfigure them, dismember them, torture them, stick their children in ovens. Literally that happened. And we know all of this for all of the deniers out there because these rat bastards had cameras strapped to them and we watch it. That's where the footage comes from. They literally streamed it. In fact, there was one family who saw on a live stream their grandmother being murdered. Broad daylight on a live stream. This stuff happened. The murdering of innocents. You don't have to like Israeli government to say, wow, it's pretty wrong what Hamas did on October 7th. That's pretty messed up. And I just find it, I find that the people who can't even acknowledge this are they're soulless and they're irrelevant to life, frankly. I have such a deficit of mercy and courtesy for these people. I mean, this is awful. It's just awful. They just, and they, and Hamas just doesn't hate Israeli kids. They hate kids in Gaza too, which is why all of these zombies out there that fawn all over them. It's amazing. You know how many school kids they kill because they recklessly launch their crude little rockets off of school, off of school buildings. Their headquarters was underneath a hospital, for crying out loud. They wanted to use the sick and the elderly as a shield for themselves because they thought, well, if we put our headquarters under a hospital, no one's going to attack a hospital to try to get us here. So this is just horrible. And the fact that the world, that this isn't the one of the leading stories, and you have people that are still trying to argue to give money to these animals in Gaza, turn the whole strip to glass. Done. There's no relocating people. There's no coexistence. There's no two-state solution. You cannot coexist and have a two-state solution with a political party that is wildly supported by the people and in its charter specifically states that Israel has no right to exist. So miss all of us with that stupid talk. There's no, there will never be a two-state solution. They don't deserve it. Our partners over at Super Beats, the new product, Super Barine, which now you can walk into a Sam's Club and get. Super Barine is a plant-based supplement formulated with an ingredient that helps to support your metabolism and also helps to support blood sugar levels. It's three times more effective than your diet and exercise alone. And it's it offers real results. It's super convenient. One easy-to-swallow capsule a day helps you to do more to support that metabolic health and blood sugar levels using clinically researched ingredients. The berberine they use has a 10 times higher absorption rate than standard berberine. It's used by doctors from the makers of Super Beats. So head to your nearest Sam's Club, where you can save on Super Beats heart chews and the new Super Barine from Human. You'll love the way it makes you feel.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
Family fun at this year's Boat Show and Fishing Expo. 14 local dealers are offering huge discounts on current stock with all boats rigged and ready. Truckloads of discounted fishing tackle, water sports gear, seminars, trout fishing, Oklahoma bass tub, and more. Fun on the water for everyone. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Now, President Trump says he likes the idea of giving some of the savings from DOGE back to Americans as kind of a dividend. Would you support that?
Listen, he's just telling a lie. He's not the one that had anything to do with the $1,200 refunds that people had during the midst of COVID that was done by a Democratic House and Democratic Senate. Right now, what they're going to do is say, hey, we want to give you a refund, but Congress won't let us because they already know that there's just no money for that.
It doesn't make any sense. And did she take out her extensions? Her hair looks better.
Yeah, it does look better.
I mean, sometimes, ladies, and I see a lot of it on cable news, it's obvious. Nobody has Barbie hair down to their A double snakes. Stop it. You're not Crystal Gale. It's very obvious. Quit. Your natural hair is so much prettier. Anyway, does she actually know how this whole system works, the dividend and the savings? And I think that the $5,000 is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. We talked about that with Carol Roth yesterday, if you want to go on YouTube and find that. It's the cuts, though, actually following through on that's one on all these recommendations is one way to do it. But we have to cut all spending and we have to make better fiscal policy. So some of the stuff we have coming up in our second hour, we've been going over this border EO. We also have Zelensky gets told off by Trump. And I think now some people are livid. And I'm so tired of this false choice of either the Zelensky or Putin. We're going to address that coming up. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at Goldco. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. Goldco is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Call me a dictator. Call me a dictator.
Would you call Ukrainian President Zelensky a dictator, as President Trump has?
Well, I like I said, the president speaks for himself. What I want to see is a peaceful result, a peaceful outcome. And I think right now there's a negotiation going on, and let's see where that ultimately leads. Hopefully it'll get to the outcome we all want to see.
Interesting. So that's John Thune, who's now the Senate Majority Leader. And he was asked about some comments that Trump had made about Zelensky, Vladimir Zelensky. And as you know, POTUS was talking to Russian leader Vladimir Putin, and they've been trying to figure out some kind of resolution, some kind of way of winding down the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And I don't know why it's a requisite for POTUS to be doing it. I'm curious about why does he have to be the guy that makes them come together? And say, I don't get why. Let's dive into this. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash. With you, we're here at the top of this first hour, Channel 347 DirecTV, chats at Rumble, YouTube, X as well. So let me back up, because this war of words between Trump and Zelensky has been going on for a long time. I mentioned a story yesterday where I briefly said that, you know, you can't be Zelensky, you can't be Volodymyr Zelensky and think that you're going to pick fights with the administration and that's going to be your statecraft. Not really how it's handled, not really how it's done. And that's just, you, if you are going to be a statesman and you're going to be a diplomat and be representing your country's interests and you need assistance, then you have to, you got to play the Game of Thrones, so to speak. You have to figure out how to talk with an administration or different leaders and have them be sympathetic to your cause. And I say this because in the beginning, it feels like Zelensky did that. And then I guess he got high off his own supply and then decided to start talking tough and turn that tough talk towards POTUS. And POTUS didn't really like that, as he is wont to not like. He just doesn't like that. So if you go back to, goodness, this is quite some time ago, when originally, he came in, Zelensky came into the United States, and this was before the election. So this was like last fall. It was like early September. And do you remember where it seemed like he was kind of, in a way, campaigning for Kamala Harris? Do you guys remember that? If you Google it, it'll come up. There was a New York Times piece that kind of discussed some of this, because he came in and he was saying nice things about Kamala Harris, and he was doing these interviews. I think he did an interview with one New York publication, and he had said, quote, "My feeling is that Trump doesn't really know how to stop the war, even if he might think that he knows how." And Zelensky then said of Vance, quote, "He's too radical. I don't take his words seriously." And then Zelensky stated that Vance lacked, he didn't have a grasp of the history of the area. And he actually said, this is an actual quote, he's talking about who should educate whom here. He says, quote, "The Jewish people are a strong power base in the United States," and suggested that they should, that he, that, that, Vance should be educated. Wow. And when Vance met with Zelensky in Munich, you would think that that would be a time that Zelensky would say, wow, they, I need something from them, and I can't really continue doing what I'm doing if it's not, unless this administration is backing me. And he decided to be very cavalier in his meeting with Vance, and it did not go well. And I think it was because, I think one of the reasons that he has this attitude is after 4 years of Biden, he's been everything he demanded, he's gotten and more. I mean, Kane, every single time we had a headline about how much money they got, it was like billions, right? Like a $2 billion here, $5 billion here. I mean, this is a lot of money. And he seems arrogant. That's the problem. He seems arrogant. In this piece, and the New York Times wrote about it, the comments that he made, he said that Trump was caught in a web of disinformation. So, you know, Trump on Wednesday of this week, he was the one, he was on True Social, and he said that Zelensky was a dictator without elections. Now, everybody is like weighing in on this, because you have different factions of, I'm going to say the coalition, the right coalition. I'm not going to say the Republican Party, because this is coalition stuff here. So you have, and this is an accurate use of the phrase, neocons on in the right coalition, who are, they're like Lindsey Graham. They are a hammer and everything's a nail. And the best way to respond to anything is military response. They want to get involved in every single entanglement. They were the ones who wanted to send boots on the ground to Ukraine. They want to go and engage in whatever the hell mission creep that loses our resources and gets our treasure in terms of our military members killed. And obviously there are a lot on the coalition of the right that do not share that viewpoint. And we're the ones saying, well, what benefit do we get from committing our time and treasure to someone else's territorial conflict? I mean, prevail upon me, if you would, why we should be so devoted to that, that we're willing to expend our resources that we do not have right now and get involved in something like this. And that's when you get the neocon speak of, well, Russia's going to go through Europe and they're going to fight NATO. And then I have to roll my eyes at some of the, and I've spoken to, Nikki Haley was on this program and we went back and forth about this a couple of years ago, because she was one of those, and she's very nice, but I disagree with her on this. She was one of those who was saying that, well, Russia doesn't want NATO on its doorstep. And I'm like, with all due respect, NATO's been on their doorstep. I mean, a number of Baltic states are already members of NATO and have been for a very long time. So that argument's out the window. That makes zero sense. I mean, you can see that they can barely deal with Ukraine right now. That's one of the reasons why Putin's coming to the negotiating table, because they're not doing so good. So you expect me to buy that they would be able to take on all of NATO? Oh, yes, because China. You mean China, whose economy is on the edge of a knife, that couldn't, if they got involved in a conflict, would not be able to finance it no matter what happened? I'm not sold on this. I'm not sold. So I disagree with all of that. And I think it's ridiculous if you're Zelensky and you're trying to get the world on your side to be arrogant and cavalier with your requests. I'm never going to get over the fact that there are people, not like one or two of them, but numerous people within Ukraine's government were complaining that if the United States did not meet its promise of sending them like, what, 200 or 20 something billion, I can't even remember, it was an astronomical amount, that they weren't going to be able to pay their pensions. You're in a war. That should be the last of your concerns right now. And for the people that are criticizing POTUS on the language specifically that he used when describing Zelensky, it's not far off. I mean, he did suspend elections. And yes, the opposition party leaders who normally would hate him said it is legitimate that while this war continues, they can suspend elections. That still has a name, regardless of the context it's in. Do you know what I mean? He still suspended elections. And what's more, they've even shut down churches that spoke critical of his administration. And they shut down press offices. These are indisputable facts. So I bring this up only to provide the perspective that there are no good guys in this. There's just less bad guys. Like, is he a lesser on the spectrum of good to baddie? You know, where he's lesser on that scale than, say, Putin. And I really kind of roll my eyes at the absolute stupidity of some people in the press and some of the pundits out there who cannot juggle more than one idea in their head at a time. And they believe that if you think that Zelensky is also a bad guy, then somehow you are in alignment with Vladimir Putin, which is lazy reasoning that just reeks of leftism. Because it's not true. And as Steve notes, it's my pancake theory. You know, if I say I like waffles and someone's like, why do you hate pancakes? I didn't say anything about pancakes, you stupid bee. I didn't say anything about them. I was specifically talking about waffles. You can still think that Russia had no business invading Ukraine. And you're right. You can also think that Zelensky is corrupt because he is. You can also think that his government is corrupt because they are notoriously so, even before any of this stuff, going all the way back to the Crimean annexation began. And again, you can still believe that and still think that Putin was stupid and wrong for invading Ukraine. Yes, there's a lot of history there. Yes, you could say that maybe Zelensky should have been more sympathetic to the ethnic Russians that are in Donbas. Yes, 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 you can say all of that stuff. Why should we care? That's cold, Dana. No, it's not. It's realistic. You're talking about expending all of our resources for what? If you ask people, for what? What does this serve? What does it serve? Because if you say that if we don't do anything, Russia grows, okay, well, then you're already begging the question because you're assuming the neocon conclusion is true. Therefore, that's how you arrive at that particular answer. And that's wrong. It's bad logic, bad reasoning. It's just wrong. But Zelensky does himself no favors at all whatsoever. No favors. And so Trump, when he called him a dictator without elections on Truth Social, you know, people are accusing him of being a pawn of Russia right now. And I think that that's incredibly dumb as well. That doesn't make any sense. There's a lot here that, yes, the history, etc. I don't care about any of that. I don't care. Why do we have to get involved? Why is Keir Starmer getting lectured by all these other European leaders? Because he's destined. He wants to commit to boots on the ground. For what? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But it's that arrogance, the arrogance of this that is really, he does himself no favors. And then they want to blame everyone else for having a negative reaction to that arrogance. The idea of peacekeepers, it just doesn't make any... Keir Starmer, they wanted to send boots on the ground, peacekeepers. I don't even think they have the military capacity to do that. I don't even know how the UK at this point even has the financial resources to fund it. I mean, this is one of the reasons why they keep screaming about NATO and Trump. NATO is the United States. I mean, there would be no defense for all of these other nations. Without the United States, you wouldn't have NATO. I'm going to switch gears here because we got to talk about the Target stuff. Target's getting sued by Florida for hiding DEI risks, and they faulting their disastrous Pride Month campaign. I haven't been in a Target in a long time, but I know that they have that merch set up like on the end caps. I don't understand. You got to question the sanity of people who need cheap made in China merchandise to affirm how they have sex. Like your peanut butter doesn't need to affirm how you get it on. You know, I think that when the obsession with constantly advertising what you do behind closed doors is messed up. Stop it. We'll discuss this more. We got to get moving. We have headlines coming up. Our partners that bring you the program, our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in existence. And Patriot Mobile not only wants to save you money, but they also want to make sure that your money is not working against you because they don't donate to gun control and they don't donate to DEI or anything like that. They actually put a lot of momentum behind the issues, whether it's at the ballot box or parents taking over school boards. But most importantly, you get really great coverage. I mean, you have exceptional nationwide coverage, and it goes on all three major networks, so you stay connected wherever you go. They have seamless switching. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team will assist you. It's so easy to do, and it just takes a couple of minutes. And you can keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. It's just so easy. Get a free month of service. You unlock this with code Dana when you go to patriotmobile.com/Dana. Or call 972-PATRIOT. So switch today. Get a free month of service. Unlock it with promo code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Trump's Kennedy Center canceled a Pride concert that was going to feature the Gay Men's Chorus of Washington. Why do we have to sit here and constantly have events that affirm how you have sex? If you are so obsessed with it, you need mental help. You don't need affirmation concerts. And they said, oh, we're so upset this was taken away. Maybe because it's just like so trite and cringe now. I thought that people wanted to have like unity and they didn't want to be, nobody wants to be discriminated against, but yet they set themselves apart purposefully and then they pursue avenues that actually enact discrimination to achieve things, you know, that they wouldn't be able, like special treatment. It's insane. International crime gang busted by federal police over links to $2 million Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes house raid. I really don't care. I just don't. I'm sorry. There's people whose houses all burned down in California and in Hawaii, and there's people still buried under mud in North Carolina or their homes anyway, so I don't care. Let's see. I don't want this headline either. How Earth can defend itself against an asteroid? No, I don't want Earth to defend itself against an asteroid. I want Jesus to come riding the asteroid that hits Earth. That's what I want. I want my Lord and Savior on the asteroid. There he is in the sky, and there's the fireball, and boom. That's how we should go out. So there's a whole piece over at Yahoo News where they talk about this. They keep saying small chance. Stop it. It's a decent chance of an asteroid taking out an entire city. Could strike Earth less than 8 years. We're not that lucky, folks. I don't win anything. I don't win raffles. I don't win anything ever. I never win a raffle. I've never won a raffle in my life. I'm not going to win this either. I'm not going to win these odds either. We're going to talk about this coming up. Yale scientists have linked COVID vaccines to an alarming new syndrome that causes distinct changes to the body. Oh, really? Yes. And they said that the unknown condition dubbed post-vaccination syndrome causes brain fog, dizziness, exercise intolerance, tinnitus, all of this.
Safe and effective.
Yeah. And that some sufferers also show distinct biological changes, including differences in immune cells and the presence of the coronavirus proteins in their blood years after they take the shot. And it also can reawaken the dormant virus in the body called the Epstein-Barr, which causes flu-like symptoms, swollen lymph nodes, and nerve issues. Crazy. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house? Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it, and it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day, and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fishery Committee, what crimes it was that he was concerned about that caused him to plead the Fifth. Kash Patel, mark my words, will cause evil in this building behind us, and Republicans who vote for him will rue that day.
So that's Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who's talking about Kash Patel, who's expected to, his confirmation advances today. And he's saying that Kash Patel is going to cause evil in the building behind him. That's the same Senator Sheldon Whitehouse who was literally part of an all-whites-only private beach club for decades, literally for decades. And you're like, well, Dana, that was probably like maybe in the 60s. I don't know how old it is. No, it literally was 2021 when it was discovered. Yeah, I didn't even know that those things existed today still. Seriously? Yeah, he was confronted by a local reporter in Rhode Island, and they discussed this club that was part of what they said was the Spouting Rock Beach Association. And they said, apparently, it's a club that has has racial rules. And Whitehouse replied when he was asked about it. He said, quote, it's a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. I think we just need to work our way through the issues. His wife was one of the three largest shareholders in the Whites Only Club. Interesting. So,
I have the audio of it.
Oh, really? Of him being asked that?
Yeah.
Play it. Yeah, let's play it. I just want to hear how he defends that.
It would become more diverse. Now, your family's been members. Your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that. And I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
Do you have
not
concerns?
Not sorry enough for him to leave it. So he's, you know why? Sheldon Whitehouse doesn't like Kash Patel because Kash Patel is a brown guy. That's why. He's a brown man. That's why. That's literally it. I can't think of any other reason why he would. You know, he's an old white Democrat. He's a Marxist. So, of course, he sees a minority who is not a Marxist. Oh, my gosh. You mean someone who's a free thinker, thinks for themselves, doesn't like deep state? Ooh, danger, danger. Like these people, how does this guy still, what an indictment on voters that you have this guy like that in that district in Rhode Island. I mean, that is a major indictment on voters because these people are reflective of the people who send them to D.C. I know that's unpopular for politicians to say, but I'm not worrying about currying favor with voters of Sheldon Whitehouse, so I don't care. Yeah, Bill Clinton also, the New York Times busted him in 1994, I think. That story came out when I was in high school because I was so shocked at hearing that there was I didn't even know that there was a whites only golf club. And why is it always golf clubs, by the way? Why is that? That's so weird to me. Out of all the, it's just weird, you know? It's weird. Why? I don't know. But yeah, Bill, Democrats have a major problem with that. So you had Bill Clinton, who got busted when he was on the campaign trail by the New York Times for being a member of a whites-only golf club. And then you had Sheldon Whitehouse, who just a couple of years ago gets busted. And he's very upset at Kash Patel. Because Kash Patel, he's a brown man, you know, and Sheldon Whitehouse, you know, whites only golf club member doesn't like that. I think that that's pretty accurate, by the way. Just wild. So that advancement on his confirmation apparently is happening today. Now, there's a press conference right now. Mike Waltz was talking about, I'm going to pull this up real quick because I pulled it up when we were on break. POTUS snuffed out a terrorist. He just now posted, well, not just now, but he had posted, he was talking about a senior ISIS attack. They took out an ISIS member. Yay, more dead ISIS. I mean, so he's been very busy. Very busy indeed. So we'll watch all of that stuff and bring you some updates on it. Now, some of the other things that we have. This, we've got to talk about some of the GOP stuff. We were talking about Zelensky. I saw, we've got this. Let's try to get Rand Paul on because he's been saying some really good stuff about spending proposals. And of course, you know, they've got the fight over the budget, which is starting today. And there need to be some serious reductions in government spending. And already we're seeing certain Republicans have a fit over this. And it's all the predictable Republicans that are having a fit over it. They are dealing with this deadline. I'm sorry, I'm pulling this story up. The Democrats are demanding limitations on how much Trump is wanting to cut. And I saw some, and I was trying to remember who made this argument. There was one, someone was making the argument that Trump needs to be careful with a lot of these spending cuts because there are a lot of MAGA voters that are on like Medicaid and Medicare. And I'm thinking that's stupid. No, that's also not how we're approaching any of this either. One is supposed to be just like was established as what a safety net if you're down and out on your luck. And then the other's for, elderly folks. They can be ran better for sure. I would love to eliminate all of it, but there are people there who've paid into it. And I mean, what are they supposed to do? Just take a hit? That's like with Social Security. You pay in Social Security your whole life. You should be able to just get a check from the government for all your Social Security. It shouldn't be forced by the government. That being said, Democrats are fighting over limitations to Trump spending. And one of those one of the demands is that they want language binding Trump to spend funds as appropriated by Congress. And Republicans are told them no. Federal agencies are expected to run out of money after March 14th. So we're coming up on another crunch. Now we've got all of the stuff, the fight in the Senate right now. The House Appropriations Committee, they've been kind of going back and forth with Democrats over limits on spending, but they've got to get these bills in. The fact that some Republicans are wanting to extend the 2017 Trump tax cuts have ticked off Democrats. They think that they don't want those extended. They sunset. And in the Lindsey Graham Senate bill, they're not even mentioned at all, which that's unacceptable. So hopefully we're not going to be compromising. We can't compromise on this stuff anymore. Also related to, this is a Republican thing, but I read this story and I thought, oh, so this has to do with the NYU, New York University Republicans. There was a collegian, her name's Kaya Walker. She's an undergrad pursuing a BA in international relations and French. And she was the head, was the head of NYU's college Republicans. So Vanity Fair was doing a story, which I think is pretty intrusive. They were doing a story on Barron Trump's life at NYU. And they were, I don't know, I'm always suspicious of media. And apparently, I mean, clearly they didn't talk to him and he didn't participate in it, nor did his family. But the girl had said when she was talking to Vanity Fair and she was describing him, she said, well, he's, you know, kind of like an oddity on campus. You know, he goes to class and then he, you know, goes back to his room or goes back to his dorm or wherever he's staying. And so that's what she was having this conversation with Vanity Fair, and that's what she said. And then College Republicans of America got mad and they were raging at her, and she submitted her resignation over the weekend. I think the College Republicans of America had a post on social media where they stated that while they felt Vanity Fair unfairly framed her, her words do not align with the values and principles upheld by our organization. Everything she said was taken out of context, and she's sympathetic to Barron Trump. And I really feel like I can't take Republicans seriously when they bitch about the media, and then if they read one thing that tickles their confirmation bias, they immediately believe everything that they read as it's presented. And I feel like the College Republicans of America with the statement are guilty of that. I get what she's saying. It doesn't sound like she was trying to be insulting to him at all. When she said that he's like an oddity on campus, she wasn't saying that he's odd. She's talking about how wild it is that the son of the president of the United States is at their college campus. And that is odd because that's usually, I mean, think about how wild that is for you as a collegian, and especially if you're ahead of a Republican group and you're going to school with someone whose dad is head of the party. That's a wild thing for college kids. And she's just like talking to her. She's a college kid. She's an undergrad, for crying out loud. I think that she was treated way harshly. I don't think it was Republican or MAGA to have treated her that way. Really don't. And especially to immediately buy hook, line, and sinker how the media, this is why you always, by the way, record when you're talking to the media. And maybe hopefully she learns that lesson. But she had said that everybody watches him like he's, you know, they like follow him like he's a, like watch him like he's a zoo animal. It sounds like she's sympathetic to him and not antagonistic towards him. I mean, you do have to, you have to think he's 18 years old and he's on a college campus. That's and he's got a Secret Service with him. That's tough to navigate. And your first year of college is always like the hardest. That's a really tough thing to navigate as a young collegian. And she got death threats on social media and all kinds of stuff. And I just, it's like really unfortunate because, and from what the quotes, they didn't actually quote her like a whole conversation. They just took like bits and pieces of what she said and then presented it that way. And I thought that's really unfair because when you put all of her remarks together, it sounds like she's very sympathetic towards him. And like this, you know, it's kind of it, you know, when you're a freshman in college and, you know, your college experience, you have to be really kind of locked down because of security. Yeah, that's wild. So I think it's really unfair, the manner in which she was treated. And I think it's really hypocritical of people to bash the media and then turn around and then also believe everything that the media says. I mean, where's the benefit of the doubt for people who've been in the trenches with you, like this girl apparently has? That's just sad. So now she had to quit. She resigned and she's not working. They just lost a college Republican. That's so stupid because people are so overly sensitive and they don't, I need people on the right to not victimize themselves in everything like the left does, because you saw what that grew into and you saw voters revolt against that. Do not make those same mistakes in your quest for power because that's so stupid. I feel bad for her and I feel like he seems like a nice young man. I mean, he seems super sweet. He's really attentive to his mom and dad. You know, he likes hanging out with his family. I mean, it's kind of hard when you're 18 years old going into college and, you know, your family is around with you all the time and, you know, they do what they do. That can't be easy. And it seems like he was raised really well, but it sounds like she was talking about him like she felt bad that has to be the shape of his college experience. And I just feel like people are being dramatic because they need attention. I don't know. That's unfortunate. But y'all lost a Republican in New York, of all places. You know, I didn't realize they were so rich in Republicans in New York that they could foment, you know, controversy where none exists. That's incredibly unfortunate. And as we do so, our partners that help bring you this program, it's the non-firearm firearm, the Burn-A-Gun, BYRNA. Burn-A-Gun doesn't care about gun-free zone signs, and they don't have waiting periods, and there's no background checks, and it's accessible for everybody, and it's legal in all 50 states. And the Burn-A-Gun is a way to diversify your weapons array. Now, I always carry, and I tell people I have absolutely zero issue using lethal force to protect myself or a loved one. And I also realize that some people aren't so fortunate as some of us out here. We don't have to worry about going to gun-free zones, right? I mean, the joke is, well, there's no gun-free zone where I am. Well, I have friends who work in D.C. and New York, and they actually went out and got the Byrna SD. This is their most popular selling model. They have different models, but the Byrna SD is the one that everybody's getting. And I get it because, you know, one of my friends, she has a very difficult to get license to carry in D.C., and the nature of her work means she's out late at night sometimes. Not by choice, but by being a big kid and having to work and provide, you know, for a roof and food on the table. So she went out and got a Byrna SD because you've seen the crime rate in D.C. She doesn't want to be a statistic. She has a Byrna SD. And like I said, it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs or areas. So check it out because you have a lot of flexibility. It's an effective deterrent. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. BYRNA, Byrna.com/Dana is where you go to unlock 10% off of your purchase. View all of your all of the options at Byrna and consider diversifying your array today. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, this one headline, the story's so good, and I can't say any of these things. Okay, so let me just do, how do I do this? This is Florida man story. He was harassing a Florida woman. Florida woman was harassing a man on Valentine's Day. Florida woman, Florida man. She was arrested because she used 100 different phone numbers to harass this guy. It was a prolonged campaign of harassment, and according to Coconut Creek Police, the victim walked into the station lobby to report ongoing harassment that's been happening since January of last year. And the victim said that because she is dating a guy, apparently, that the Florida woman had dated. And so she was calling this woman, texting her from 75 to 100 different numbers. And I can't even say what, I can't even say any of this, actually. You can just imagine the different adjectives for a lady of the night and copulatory organs. It's a combination of the two. And in fact, there are some that I've never even heard of before. And I'm like, that's new for me to not be familiar with an insult. So I learned something from this story. Anyway, they were able to trace all of the numbers. How do you have like 70 different numbers? And how can I do that and use it against all of the people who solicit campaign donations in text? Would love to be able to use that to them. I signed them up for cat tweets or cat texts. I'm not even kidding. So she was arrested on Valentine's Day, and she's now in the Broward County Main Jail. She posted $5,000 bond. That's insane. Like hundreds upon hundreds of texts and messages. Sometimes it would be 100 a day. That is wild. That's dedication to trolling a love rival. I have not seen that kind of dedication, right? Since that Joey Buttafuoco thing. Isn't that right? Yeah. All right. So moving on. This Florida man, he was accused of setting his car on fire with his wife inside.
What?
This was in Florida Man. He's being accused of intentionally setting a car on fire as his wife sat inside. Neighbors woke up at 6 a.m. to an explosion, and he was setting his car on fire. His wife was in the passenger seat. She was burned beyond recognition. They got into a dispute. She tried to leave the vehicle and couldn't. So he is in major trouble. Murder and arson. Third hour, Senator John Cornyn will join us. Stick with us. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at Goldco. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. Goldco is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even.
Break the winter ice and get ready for family fun. The Boat Show and Fishing Expo is back. Wake boats, pontoons, fishing boats, bay boats, sea-doos, truckloads of water sports and fishing gear, and much more. Fishing seminars by pro angler Tim Horton, Captain Jerry Dilsaver, and more. Tickets available online or at the door. Details at ncboatshows.com. Central Carolina Boat Show and Fishing Expo, February 21st through 23rd, Greensboro Coliseum Complex.
Life is better with a boat.
More. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Who does he think is more responsible for the Russian invasion of Ukraine? Putin or Zelensky?
Well, look, his goal, Peter, is to bring this war to an end. Period. And there has been ongoing fighting on both sides. It is World War One style trench warfare. His frustration with President Zelensky is that you've heard is multifold. One, there needs to be a deep appreciation for what the American people, what the American taxpayer, what President Trump did in his first term, and what we've done since. So some of the rhetoric coming out of Kyiv, frankly, and insults to President Trump were unacceptable, number one. Number two, our own Secretary of Treasury personally made the trip to offer the Ukrainians what is can only be described as a historic opportunity. That is for America to co-invest
so
with
this
Ukraine.
This was a little bit earlier. Mike Waltz, NSA, who's is responding to Peter Ducey, who's asking pretty direct question there. And Waltz is trying to kind of sidestep out of it. But I mean, I think that the person responsible for the conflict is the person who invaded the country. You can, and I know this is difficult for the drive-bys, you can think that Zelensky isn't a good guy and that Putin is a worse, not good guy. What? You can think several things at once, and they don't detract from the other. It's an amazing thing. The drive-bys don't understand this, but we do. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. Coming up, we've got Senator John Cornyn, who's joining us. His office reached out. They reached out, and they wanted to come talk about some things. I'm like, okay, why not? See, that's always good. Keep the lines of communication open.
We have the cash votes going on.
And we've got, yeah, the vote on Cash Patel. We were just talking about how, who is it, Murkowski and Collins or Noes?
Yep.
Of course. I could have called that. In fact, I assumed, I would have been more surprised had they voted for him. And we know that a lot of Democrats don't like him, like Sheldon Whitehouse, who is a member of a whites-only golf club, and that was broken by the New York Post in 2021. So he doesn't like Cash Patel because he can't imagine having a brown person in a position of power like that. So that's why that's Sheldon Whitehouse. I'm not even exaggerating. And he tried to defend it by saying there's still lots of them around. What's the year again?
2025.
Can I just pause here for a moment? Now, this story broke in 21. And I just like referenced it because, you know, if you wanted some perspective as to the reasoning capabilities of Sheldon Whitehouse, how even in 2021 is that a thing? And it's in Rhode Island. That's like Northeast. Aren't they all liberals up there?
Right.
Like they're all progressives. Isn't this the stuff that they say that the right does?
Projection, I think.
This, honestly, and I'm going to move on to other stuff, but I have to tell you, the most racist people I have ever met in my ever-loving life, without exception, have all been on the left.
Yep.
Every one of them. Including some members of my own family. They are wild. And I'm just like, I can't believe in this modern era that, you know, Sheldon Whitehouse is like, yeah, whites only golf club, no big deal. And then the local press is asking him about this. Like, don't you think that? And he's like, no, it's not that. There's a lot of these here. What? But I think part of it, too, is they feel unassailable. Like, they're not really going to get a lot of heat from it. If Democrats find that Sheldon Whitehouse's position in the Senate is valuable for them, they're not going to say a peep about this. But if Sheldon Whitehouse was problematic for them, if he was like a Joe Manchin and didn't toe the line all the time, oh, then they would use this to take him out and replace him. So the consistency on that issue doesn't exist there, which betrays their stated concern for the issue. I mean, it just goes to show you. All right, so we got the votes for Kash Patel, and we also have the president's executive order on not funding with taxpayer dollars, all the stuff that's been happening at the border. There's some really interesting things with some remarks about DOGE. Lorraine found this, and I wanted to pull this up. So the president had said that he put Musk in charge of DOGE. I mean, that's kind of, you know, the thinking, right? That Elon Musk is head of DOGE, and DOGE is like a third party auditing entity that's coming in and looking at everything and then determining, you know, whether or not it needs to be recommended for cuts to Congress, right? That's how it's been running. And it's just weird because the director of Office of Administration is saying that a government official said that Musk wasn't actually in charge of or an employee of DOGE. And there's this, I'm pulling this up. I don't know. And this was like a couple of days ago. And then POTUS said at an event after that, that he signed an order creating the Department of Government Efficiency and he put a man named Elon Musk in charge. And so now there's a plaintiff is seeking discovery in a DOGE case. And one of the things that they're asking, according to this court document, is who's running it. And it's a government official that made that statement in the first place. And I don't know how much credibility that person has. It's odd, right? I mean, he literally doesn't even office. I mean, they took over that digital department that Barack Obama had created. They renamed it, took it over, renamed it. And that was DOGE. And that's apparently where Musk's offices are. So everything that I've seen widely reported on, that seems to greatly outweigh a claim from an government official. Have you heard this, Kane?
Yeah.
I've heard some of the nuanced conversations about this. I know that Carolyn Leavitt addressed it a day
they
or two ago.
They don't get paid.
No, he's not getting paid.
So how could he be an employee? He's already said he's not getting paid.
Right. Because they called him a special government employee who's appointed by the president. So even though it's not an official cabinet position, they call it a special government employee. And apparently he just has an advisory role where he actually recommends who should go in and take a look, and then what to do with that information once it's gathered. So that's the extent of what he's doing.
So the office that the department that they took over was the United States Digital Service, and that was created, we talked about this last week, that was created in 2014 by Barack Obama. And that was, they created that. You remember the horrible rollout of healthcare.gov? We joked, well, we weren't really joking. It was kind of accurate that GeoCities probably would have facilitated, you know, faster use and easier access, because they had, wasn't, how much did that website cost? It was like in the billions. $6 billion website that didn't work.
Crazy amount of money.
Didn't work. And it was an absolute disastrous rollout. And so what they wanted to do was try to increase the digital capabilities of the federal government, so to prevent them from having egg on their face like this in the future. So they created the United States Digital Services, the USDS building. That is the department that Trump took, cleared out, put in DOGE, and renamed it DOGE. So that is why it's all legal and legit. I mean, hell, Barack Obama did it. This is just with an auditing team. So they are kind of contracted with the government, but not, because they don't get paid. And they have read-only access, and it's all contract under NDAs, and they're all contracted through the government. So that's how they're able to do it. And I think it's definitely needed. You know, they shouldn't have done that. We don't need a USDS because it's not part of what we need to do. The reason that they created it was because government was so stupid and big that they needed to create that to facilitate more abysmal use of a too big government. So this to me is fine, using it for DOGE. So I feel like the whole story about DOGE, or about Musk and the accusations, and Lorraine reminds me, she's like, well, it was a sworn affidavit in court under penalty of perjury, you know, with all this stuff, and this, they're seeking discovering this. Is it because a person doesn't understand it? I don't know. I've got questions, because I can't imagine Musk going along with the appearance of running it and not running it. I mean, he's the avatar for it, for sure. Do I think that he's in there every single day doing stuff? No. But I definitely think that he's involved in it. I don't know. This is something that'll come up in questions later. Who knows? But it's very interesting, right? It's very interesting. Now, in addition to all of this, because they said he's not in charge of an employee. Well, he doesn't get paid, so he's not an employee. So coming up, we've got, after a headline, Senator John Cornyn, who's going to be joining us. And he's giving credit to Trump for his executive order on the ATF. Well, specifically with an unconstitutional ATF rule. And it has to do with engaged in the business of, this was a resolution of disapproval. They put this to kind of push back on the ATF's rule, where they're trying to, again, change definitions of things and act like they're their own governing entity. Strength and vitality inside and out. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. You'll love Native Path Collagen because it'll keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And you can use it daily in your morning coffee to start the day feeling your best. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. So you can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. And it's the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for up to an incredible 45% off, plus get free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, the I don't even know how. So this is, how do you say this? The Guillain-Barré syndrome? Guillain?
It's Guillain-Barré.
Guillain-Barré syndrome. The cases rise to 207. And this is in India. Is this in America? Why are they rising? Is it King?
I mean, vax injury?
I'm not saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But they also said that the cases rise in a 5-mile radius from, I guess, one place in India where it's their public, their district health department. I don't know. It's just a weird story, and it's based in India. Let's see. This gun saved lives. A mother, thank heaven she was armed. This is from Central Illinois. A home invasion in Decatur. There was a mother of two. She ended up being shot. She was woken up to the sound of shattering glass and footsteps in her home. She was with her two young children. Two people invaded her home. They immediately started shooting at her. She was hit once in the arm, once in the hip. She shot back, and that saved her life. She was trying to protect her children. And after the intruders left, her boyfriend arrived. She was taken to the hospital. She wasn't in serious. She didn't have she was shot twice, but the injuries were not serious. And she was able to come home. But then later that morning, officers were dispatched to a home for the report of a man having been shot. A 24-year-old Deontay Stone, he was later interviewed at the hospital by a detective. And apparently he was the one who forced his way into her home, and that it was him. So they're in trouble. He's been charged with home invasion. The other woman's been charged with, or the other person's been charged with attempted murder, home invasion, aggravated battery with a firearm. They're all booked in Macon County Jail. Guns save lives, because if she had not been there to do that, who knows what would have happened. I mean, it's horrible. A theme park with real crocs. A crocodile snatches a grandfather in his jaws and drags him into the water at a water park. So this is in Indonesia. They kept it at a local theme park, and then people can make offerings. And an elderly man ended up getting, he got dragged into the water. They have 14 different types of crocodiles. They're standing right by the water, though. Like, if you know it's croc infested, you know how fast they can come out of the water. Why would you stand anywhere near it? And there have been a number of crocodile attacks because in that particular part of the world, that the river's used for cooking and for bathing and for everything else. And so you're naturally bringing people into contact with that crazy predator. So, and just wild. I mean, good heaven. Thankfully, they were able to save him. An upstate New York town reports over 300 inches of snow. I cannot even imagine. That's like my worst nightmare, is all of that snow. The videos and photos of these people like digging out are pretty crazy. It's not a polar vortex, but it is like polar weather. So they said that in other parts of New York, they got 3 to 4 feet of snow. This is wild. And they said that in, northern New York, they were looking at 15 to 28 inches. Wow. I can't even imagine. That's crazy. So it's just cold here. And then next week, it's going to be 75. I can't deal anymore. So coming up, Senator John Cornyn, it's very interesting. He's got this letter that he's put out to the ATF where he's asking them to rescind some of their controversial gun control edicts. We're going to talk to him about that and this budget as well. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour. We were going to have Senator John Cornyn, but we were able to get him. Okay, well, I'll let you guys get him set up. And in the meantime, you guys can watch Channel 347 DirecTV. You can listen all across the country. Breaking news really quickly. Kash Patel was confirmed to be FBI director. The final vote was 51 to 49. So that's all just happening right now. This is a very busy news day. So we're following everything that we can. In the meantime, make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Substack. I'll have that all of that up for you as well. Now, joining us is Texas Senator from the Great Republic of Texas, John Cornyn, who was able to rush back in because, you know, the Senate's there. They're doing the job in the Senate. And he was just voting. I mean, Senator, it's good to have you. Did you just vote and then run back to your office?
I did. Yeah, and then I had a few technical problems, but thanks for your patience.
You made it back, because I realized, I thought, well, if they're voting right now, he's got to get back to the Senate building in order to make this happen. So there you go. Well, we're happy that you're here. You are.
Thank you.
You, and I saw this as well online. You have sent, and I'm pulling this up now, the ATF notice. And you're taking issue with the ATF's policies that infringe upon 2A rights. Specifically, you were looking at the engaged in the business rule. This is an attempt. The ATF has been trying to impose, you know, basically create a national registry by having, quote unquote, universal background checks, et cetera. You also mentioned SBRs, the pistol brace rule, the, quote unquote, ghost gun rule, and this weird policy that the ATF has developed, most egregiously under the Biden administration, in which they've had this zero tolerance policy for FFLs for even a grammatical error, and they will have their license revoked. Tell us about this letter that you sent. Have you received any response yet from the ATF, or what do you expect to hear from them too as well?
Well, thanks for the chance to be on, Dana. And we have not yet heard back, but the Biden administration was one of the most anti-Second Amendment administrations in recent memory. What I have always advocated is that law-abiding gun owners are no threat to public safety, so any sort of restriction on their Second Amendment rights makes no sense and will not make the world safer. Conversely, it will allow them to protect their family and their property in a way contemplated by the founders. But the Biden administration had a policy of taking legislation that we'd passed and then expanding on that or changing it in issuing these rules, and in this case by the ATF, to deal with the in-the-business rule, so to speak. The idea of that provision originally was to make sure that people who were actually literally engaged in the business were FFLs and thus performing background checks of existing law. But there have been a number of instances, most notably in places like Odessa and Texas and others, where people have tried to evade that rule. And the prosecutor said, well, the law was basically too vague. And so, but the Biden administration went too far on that, and also on the pistol brace rule. And then, as you point out, using paperwork errors, much like the IRS, in order to play a game of gotcha and to threaten their ability to pursue their livelihood. So we've asked the ATF director to stand down on those proposed rules. And I think between what President Trump has done through executive orders and what we will be able to do through something called the Congressional Review Act, if we're unsuccessful in getting them to stand down on their own or in response to this request, we have other avenues of recourse that we can pursue.
Do you think, and we're talking for those joining us, to Senator John Cornyn, who just fresh off this Kash Patel confirmation vote, joining us now via Skype. There are some who say, Senator, that because you helped sponsor the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which, you know, it's commonly referred to kind of as a gun control bill that included some of the stuff, particularly the definition of who is a seller and who isn't, that kind of created the problem that needs to be remedied now, that your letter is seeking to do with the ATF. How do you answer those people who say that it's kind of like being in both camps at the same time?
Well, this was existing law, but as I mentioned, that the prosecutors, the U.S. attorneys, were reluctant to prosecute people because of the ambiguity in what being engaged in the business actually meant. What I was referring to was the terrible tragedy that occurred in Odessa, Texas a few years ago, where somebody basically bought the components of a firearm online from an unlicensed seller, even though that person was clearly in the business of manufacturing firearms, in order to evade the background check that would occur as a matter of course with an FFL. And of course, as you know, that background checks are done instantaneously in the vast majority of cases. But here, the real problem was not the law that was passed, which was an attempt to clarify existing law, but was rather the interpretation that attempted to broaden and do, as you pointed out at the beginning, impose some obligation of the universal background checks, even for casual family transfers or things, friends and family sort of things that we never intended to include or encompass.
Right, because as you said, and two, I'm looking at previously the way that it was defined in terms of who was in the business, like a gun dealer or not, the way it was previously defined, and the quote was principal objective of livelihood and profit. And then when they were revising that, it became anybody who predominantly earns a profit. I mean, it seems like semantics. I mean, what is the legal impact of the difference in that?
Well, I'm, as you may recall, I'm a recovering judge by profession. And so I was thinking about what a judge would ask a jury in terms of making the decision and giving some clarity to people who were legitimately in the firearms manufacturing or sales business, so they would know what is required of them or what they were not required to do because it was not their principal means of employment. This really kind of gets back to another sort of canard that the gun grabbers basically have been espousing, suggesting that gun show sales would somehow evade the background check requirement. But as you know, and as I've experienced, if you go to a gun show and have an FFL selling firearms there, they do background checks.
Yep.
And so it was really kind of a phony issue. We tried to avoid that entirely by clarifying who was engaged in the business and who was required then to get an FFL, and those who were not, that would not need to do that.
What needs to be done, Senator, to either, I know that there's some on the right that say the ATF needs to be reformed, others, and this is, you know, full disclosure, I put myself in this camp, that think it just needs to be abolished entirely, because if anything, they've just created more confusion and they've turned innocent people into felons with these completely, they bypass you in the Senate, they bypass the House, they create these edicts that then later run afoul of the law, but not before they can turn a lot of people into criminals until that time that it's changed. What needs to happen in order to bring this department under control? Because it seems like they're clearly operating outside of any kind of congressional oversight.
Well, it's the most important part of this is to get good nominees, and I trust we will get a good nominee from President Trump.
And, can I interject and ask who you would like to see?
Well, I don't have a preference. I'll leave that up to President Trump. I'm sure he's capable of picking somebody who will do as you suggest, which is follow the law that Congress has written and not try to make it up on their own or create felons out of legitimate gun businesses. But I think really it boils down to the characteristics of the nominee, because unfortunately during a Democratic administration and anti-gun administration, they're necessarily, or in all likelihood, going to nominate somebody who's going to take a very expansive view and try to essentially rewrite the laws that Congress has written. So I think we're going to be in pretty good shape with President Trump here for the next 4 years. But what we'd like to try to do is clarify the law and completely and to rescind some of these overreaching regulations so that we can start with a clean slate and Congress can keep track of this in a way that protects the rights of law-abiding citizens who are not a threat to public safety.
They are not. Indeed, we're talking with Senator John Cornyn. And I want to switch gears here, and I want to ask you about some of the drama that I saw on social media. And I always love talking about some of the Republican drama. I get the sense that you and AG Ken Paxton are not the greatest of friends. And I saw a quote that he was that he had retweeted or reposted. And it was a quote of yours where you were talking about President Trump kind of going right to the line of constitutionality or pushing the judicial system right to the edge. And you had responded to someone that had asked you about it and said fake news. But Semaphore did publish an interview where they had quoted you as saying that. And I kind of wanted to get your response. Like, what were you discussing? What is that in reference to the quote that Semaphore has you cited in? And I kind of wanted to get your take on how the president has been approaching some of this stuff with his executive orders.
Well, this won't surprise you that it's social media can be used for good or bad purposes, and certainly in this case, mischaracterized my position and my statement in the Semaphore article. All I said is that President Trump is taking an aggressive position when it comes to executive power. There have been a lot of lawsuits that have been filed to question that, but I think the president's entirely within his rights to try that and see what the limits are that the courts might ultimately place on his authority or not. For example, his right to fire somebody who works at the Office of Special Counsel. The president takes a position that's consistent with existing authority that, as the head of the executive branch, he can fire executive branch employees. I think the Supreme Court will agree with him, and I'm fine with that. But I was just suggesting that this is going to be ultimately clarified through the course of litigation, and the courts are going to be the final arbiter on what the extent of presidential powers actually are. This was not being critical. Indeed, I was acknowledging the president's right to do what he's doing, which is to test what those limits actually are and not necessarily to accept the past interpretations of the courts.
Now, it seems a little odd for anybody to criticize, especially with regard to the Treasury, because that falls under the purview of the executive. And, you know, he's the executive, right, and he can make the call on what falls under the executive branch. Getting into making these executive orders stick, obviously that depends on the House and Senate, particularly with a lot of this. And I think it's fine to lead, especially to try to expedite things with executive orders. But in order to make that stick, that has to all be followed with legislative action. How confident are you that that can be made permanent by going through the House and Senate?
Well, you're exactly right. Executive orders are only as good as the term of office of that president who issues them. And indeed, we saw President Biden go into office and rescind all of President Trump's border security executive orders. And we know what the result of that was. It was disaster at the border. So the president can do a lot of this by executive order, but we need to back this up with legislation. And we will do that as much as we can within the limits of the budget reconciliation process. Not to get too bogged down in the details, but as you know, the Senate ordinarily requires 60 votes in order to pass any bill or to close off any debate in the budget, which is what we're working on today, this evening. You can do it with 51 votes.
And that's that rescissions package, correct? Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
That's the rescissions package that I know some members were talking about. Yeah.
Yes. Ultimately, the budget is the framework, and of course, it has to pass the House and the Senate, and then we can do the reconciliation bills along with any rescission bills to cut out some of the spending, for example, that Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiencies identified. And they've been doing a great job, in my view, identifying some of the most ridiculous expenditures that we've frankly been unable to get at under the previous administration. So I'm encouraged and excited.
Hopefully we can make these tax cuts permanent too, and the cutting and spending permanent. That would be, I'm a little nervous about what your colleague, Senator Graham, said, coming back later in the year and doing it. And I thought that's going to be in midterm calendar. No, that's the start of midterms. I feel like you would lose momentum.
Well, I agree with you. President Trump said yesterday he prefers the big, beautiful bill that the House has passed. They've gotten it out of the Budget Committee. We'll see whether Speaker Johnson can get it through the House. My preference would be to deal with this in one big bill rather than do it piecemeal as the Senate is starting to do. But this is a very delicate process, particularly given the narrow margin that the Speaker has in the House. We got a little bit more cushion over here in the Senate with 53 Republicans, that's the process we're going through right now. And
Senators, voters would be super excited to see an extension of tax cuts and a cut in spending. Very excited voters. I can't emphasize that enough. So we'll watch and see what happens. That we're also going to watch with this ATF, the ATF response to your letter as well. Senator John Cornyn, a pleasure to have you. And thanks for running in right after that vote to join us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dana. Mm-hmm.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Make sure you sign up over at Substack. Chapter and Verse is the newsletter. Good stuff coming out there for you. And then tonight I'm going to be on Jesse Waters' program. Don't know the topic yet, but that'll be in the 7 p.m. Central hour. Yes. So make sure you tune in. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. Cut 11, Juan. This is Senator Schumer. Listen to what he says here. Listen to this.
The caucus that there is wasteful spending in government that needs to be cut. Do you agree with those in that sense?
Of course there's some wasteful spending, but you don't use a meat axe and cut everything.
That one little part, I may agree with him, because I think instead of a meat axe, we need a chainsaw.
Does he mean a cleaver?
I think so.
Tell me that you know nothing about meat.
A meat axe?
Without telling me you know nothing about meat. What the hell is a meat axe? You mean a cleaver? This is why this guy put cheese on raw meat on his grill. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.